Yes, sir. It's your boy, Big Vern. You're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. You heard?
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And this morning on the WGXC Morning Show, we're going to hear what happened last night on the radio. And we'll hear an excerpt of Kimberly Irwin's race talk show that was on WGXC on Tuesday, December 20th, when she talked with Hudson dance educator and choreographer Anna Mehta. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after Jason Martin from Troy finishes singing this song, and it's time for the local news on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
In air waves controlled. On air, in air channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Mid-Hudson News reports that leaders in the State Assembly and Senate are about to add $32,000 to their annual pay as part-time lawmakers. Under the proposal, compensation would increase from $110,000 per year for all senators and assembly members to $142,000 a year as of January 1, 2023. This pay hike would make New York lawmakers the highest paid in the country. Both houses will vote on the raises during a special session on December 22nd. The lawmakers also receive health and pension benefits. A restriction on outside income for lawmakers is effective January 1, 2023. A previously approved salary increase was supposed to have taken legislators' salaries to $130,000 in 2021, but it was invalidated by a judge. The pending plan far exceeds anything previously scheduled. New York lawmakers also receive per diems and travel reimbursements for each trip they make to Albany. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Rick Carlin reports in the Times Union that on December 19th, the 22-member Climate Action Council voted in favor of New York's scoping plan for energy. New York's plan for combating climate change mandates that 70% of the state's power come from clean sources by 2030 and an 85% reduction in greenhouse gases from 1990 levels by 2050 and a zero-emissions power grid by 2040. 12 of the 22-member council are state agency or authority chiefs who serve directly or indirectly under Governor Kathy Hochul, so the plan was expected to pass. And it did, 19-3, but not without dissent. Paul Stephson, dean at SUNY Stony Brook School of Marine and Atmospheric Sciences, said at a Climate Action Council meeting earlier this month, and I quote, "I object to any notion that we have a need for hydrogen," end quote. The natural gas industry, though, wants to keep making money. Gavin Donahue, president and CEO of the Independent Power Producers of New York, asked, and I quote, "What is the alternative fuel that is going to replace gas in the future?" end quote. This vote is for the broad outline of the state's plan to combat climate change. Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner Basil Sagos, who is co-chair of the climate panel, said, and I quote, "This plan serves as a bold, monumental achievement, not just for New York State, but for the nation and the world, which centers on equity and climate justice across all sectors, building opportunities for all, and ensuring we have a workforce that can transition as seamlessly as possible in our new clean energy economy," end quote. Next year, regulatory agencies such as the DEC will begin writing the actual regulations to get a carbon-free power grid. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Rick Carlin reports for the Times Union that Lights Out Norlight, a group opposing Norlight aggregate plant and incinerator in Cohos, is looking to join the Attorney General's lawsuit against the company. With the assistance of lawyers and students from the Pace University Environmental Litigation Clinic, the group on December 20th filed in State Supreme Court in Albany County a motion to intervene in the case, alleging the plant has allowed harmful levels of dust and other pollution to escape over the years, an argument similar to the one being made by the Attorney General. Lights Out is also seeking an order that would essentially make the State Department of Environmental Conservation order the plant to cease operations. The DEC is currently reviewing Norlight's application to renew its air emission permits, but it has also served the company with notices of violations regarding dust emissions. The Lights Out group is also pointing to the year-old Green Amendment as a reason to enforce changes or close the facility. That amendment states that all state residents have a constitutional right to clean air and water, as well as a, quote, healthful environment, unquote. The Lights Out group hopes the Green Amendment will add legal heft to their battle against Norlight. Quote, "Residents have been forced to breathe their dust and pollution for decades. The smell is often overwhelming, and the dust from their massive outdoor piles gets into people's lungs, their homes, and over everything," unquote, added Mark Dunley, chair of the Green Education and Legal Fund, which is also a plaintiff in the legal action. The Cohos Housing Authority recently received permission from the Department of Housing and Urban Development to move residents out of the Saratoga Sites housing project, which is located next door to Norlight. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Tyler A. McNeil reports for the Daily Gazette that on January 6th, Schoharie County will begin conducting a survey to gauge the quantity, challenges, and output of farmers in one of the state's most rural counties. Nick Kosman, the county development specialist for agricultural business, said, and I quote, "My main concern is that farmers don't have a ton of time to fill out a pages-long survey, and it was my goal originally to make sure this was less than 20 questions, and we're down to less than 15 at this point," end quote. In 2016, a similar survey found that farmers averaged 26 years in business, owned 168 acres, or rented 125 acres, and most farms specialized in dairy production. A quarter of land use in Schoharie County is for agriculture. Between 2007 and 2017, Schoharie County was the only local county to gain in both farmland acreage, 1,450 acres, and producers, 16. Kosman said, and I quote, "If you're looking with sort of a traditional view of where there are the 200 cow dairies and the 100-acre farms, our average farm size has decreased pretty steadily over the years. But we are having a lot more people, I believe, and this is kind of what I'm hoping this survey will prove. A lot of people who are doing more farming on a smaller scale," end quote. Read the full story in the Daily Gazette.
Brian Hubert reports for the Daily Freeman that Amtrak has announced it will replace the tubular-shaped stainless steel AmFlat cars that date to the 1970s and 1980s. According to the rail carrier, they will be used on routes up and down the East Coast, including routes that serve the Mid-Hudson Valley like the Adirondack, Empire Service, and Ethan Allen Express, and also on the West Coast in Washington and Oregon. The new German-designed single-deck trains, branded named Amtrak Arrow, will likely enter service starting in 2026. Amtrak said the new trains formed of either six or eight cars will offer modern, quote, spacious interiors and panoramic windows, unquote. Images released on December 15th show windows far larger than the ones found on the current AmFleet cars. The new trains will be manufactured in California by a division of the German industrial conglomerate Siemens and be capable of operating at 125 miles per hour where track permits, Amtrak said. The trains that operate in the Northeast will be able to operate on multiple power sources, alleviating the need for locomotive changes, the release said. A redesigned cafe car will offer more contemporary food choices, including self-service options. According to Amtrak, the cars will have, quote, spacious ergonomic seating, offering enhanced comfort with plenty of leg room, bigger and sturdier tray tables, movable headrests, and a dedicated cup and seat back tablet holder, unquote. The new trains will also be more fuel efficient and produce 90% fewer particulate emissions when they operate in diesel mode. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
The Times Union is reporting that New York has acquired 1,300 acres of forest and greenland in the Taconic Mountains to preserve open space. The State Department of Environmental Conservation announced that the land in the Rensselaer County town of Berlin will connect the Taconic Ridge and Berlin State Forest. DEC Commissioner Basil Sago said, and I quote, DEC and our partners are continuing to collaborate with stakeholders to permanently protect the Taconic Ridge and the valuable ecological and recreational opportunities it provides. The newest 1,300 acres will help connect and enhance DEC's existing state forest network and builds upon our ongoing progress in conserving this Capital Region national treasure, end quote. The purchase for $890,000 through the state's Environmental Protection Fund will link together more than 12,000 acres of state forest. The land includes a tributary of the Little Hoosick River, a wild trout stream, and 80 acres of critical grassland habitat. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, sunny with a high near 35 degrees. Wednesday night, increasing clouds with a temperature low of around 21 degrees. And on Thursday, there will be a chance of snow before 1 p.m., then a chance of rain. Otherwise, it will be cloudy with a temperature high near 41 degrees. And showers Thursday night with a temperature low of around 34 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Wednesday, December 21st, tune in to all sorts of live local creative community radio at WGXC. 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m., Matthew O'Neill is live from the WGXC Acre Studio at the Wave Farm with the Panther Mountain Sound, music of indigenous folks, and more. Then Mirage Station is live from Wave Farm at 11 a.m. with Mayuka Fujino playing all sorts of sounds. And then we go live to Catskill at noon after the local news with Spike Priggin, with 2 hours of the Bedazzled Radio Hour with rock and roll and more. And at 4 p.m., tune in the WGXC Congressional Report on the WGXC Afternoon Show live from Acre. 7 p.m., the Off the Hook Show, simulcast from WBAI in Brooklyn live. There, you can call in with your tech questions to the Off the Hook 2600 computer hacking crew. At 8 p.m., we're live from Hudson with Peter McPartland and Annie Kanovskaya with Rock and Roll High School. And at 10 p.m., we're live from Ulster County with Jeff Economy and the Snack Point Charlie Show. And at midnight, we're live from Ulster County again with a simulcast from Radio Kingston of Peter Aaron's Go Go Kitty Show until 2 a.m. on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page.
and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
After a long absence on local stages, Catskill's Brian DeWan is performing back locally again on Thursday, December 22nd. It's his annual holiday program, and this year it is at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, December 22nd. WGXC should have a live webcast of the performance. It may also be on the FM airwaves. So tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Thursday, December 22nd for Catskill's Brian DeWan's return to local stages and his annual holiday show Thursday, December 22nd at the Avalon Lounge.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, December the 21st, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Congress has approved a funding boost of $25 million for the National Labor Relations Board. Labor experts hope this will allow the agency to better handle a swath of petitions from people who want to unionize their workplaces.
According to the NLRB, over 2,500 union petitions have been filed between September 2021 and October 2022, the most the agency has seen since 2016. But since 2014, the NLRB has seen a 25% decline in funding. Erin Mahoney with the Communications Workers of America describes what a better-funded NLRB would be capable of.
A well-funded National Labor Relations Board would mean that we would go back to having on-time elections and not waiting weeks for those to be determined, sometimes months. We'd be able to see decisions made more quickly when employers put forward frivolous appeals and things like that.
Though the agency received $25 million, several members of Congress signed on to a letter saying the agency should receive a $368 million funding boost. Mahoney notes that if a hike had not been approved, it would have further delayed ongoing union organizing efforts across the country. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
The letter adds that the NLRB expects to use the additional funding amount for a pay increase in January and to cover non-labor-related inflation costs. The America's Health Rankings 2022 annual report is out. It shows Nevada lands at the bottom, or close to it, among the states on multiple health care measures.
Researchers with United Health Foundation ranked the Silver State 49th for its lack of public health funding and 50th for the number of primary care doctors per 100,000 people. Dr. Mark Kahn, dean of the Kirk Kerkorian School of Medicine at UNLV, says the two measures are related and urges the government to fund more slots for medical students to finish up their training.
Physicians are most likely to practice where they've last completed training. So for many of them, that's a residency and or fellowship. And the state of Nevada has been woefully underallotted the numbers of residency positions through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
The report also cites an 18% jump in premature deaths per 100,000 people nationally from 2019 to 2020. Now from the New York Times, the House Ways and Means Committee voted Tuesday to publicly release the tax returns of former President Donald J. Trump. Representative Lloyd Dockett, a Democrat on the committee, told CNN that the release of a full catch of tax documents will be delayed for a few days. That's in order to carry out redactions of personal information like Social Security numbers. This is PNS. The EPA has ordered the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to stop oil and other toxic chemical discharges into the Columbia River in Washington and the state of Oregon. Mark Moran has our report.
The group Columbia Riverkeeper sued the Corps last year and says these pollutants harm fish and other wildlife in the Columbia and Snake Rivers. Miles Johnson, the group's senior attorney, says the permits address four dams along the river that are pollution sources, and the problem is bigger than petroleum and chemical pollution.
In addition, the dams create big reservoirs that soak up the sun's energy and make the river too hot for salmon and steelhead. The permits that EPA issued to the Army Corps are a directive to deal with some of those problems.
In operating the dams, the Corps will be required to use environmentally friendly lubricants. pay closer attention to water temperatures in those reservoirs, and remove water from some of them if they get too hot for the fish to survive.
And West Virginians could soon be able to purchase naloxone, brand name Narcan, without a prescription.
Advocacy groups say they're balking at the price, which has skyrocketed over the past few years. Director of Musicians for Overdose Prevention, John Kennedy, expects an over-the-counter price tag of at least $100, which he says is cost prohibitive for people who need it most, and for nonprofit groups working to distribute Narcan at the community level.
At $80 to $90 a Narcan kit, someone who's a user, they can't afford that. If we're distributing 2,000-3,000 kits a year, which we are, that's into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we can't afford that either.
According to data from Health Affairs, Narcan nasal spray has a list price of around $150. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
Finally, Daniel Smith lets us know the holiday shopping season already in full swing. AARP Arkansas has some tips on how to avoid becoming a victim of fraud or identity theft.
The latest AARP Fraud Watch Network report finds the most common concerns this year are related to online shopping, empty gift cards, and package delivery scams. Ashley McBride with AARP Arkansas says gift cards are favorites for many people, but scammers can manipulate gift cards on store racks and can also use software to look online for activated cards with balances.
An increased risk comes with increased popularity. 26% of U.S. consumers said they have given or received a gift card with no balance.
AARP recommends that people purchase a gift card directly from the card issuer's website rather than off a rack at a physical store.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and find our trusted indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Roof from Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. The Broadcast Law blog reports that comments are due by January 9th for the Federal Communications Commission's new rules about foreign government sponsorship identification. Questions about foreign ownership of the airwaves of America usually pop up in times of paranoia, misinformation, and propaganda, so there is little surprise the FCC's Media Bureau would consider this issue now. The Bureau wants comments on proposed rules for all buyers of program time on any broadcast station or those who provide any pre-produced programming received for free to provide verification if programming comes from a, quote, foreign government entity, unquote, i.e., a foreign government or one of its agents. Then, shows from a foreign government entity would be subject to extensive public disclosure obligations. Read more about this story at the Broadcast Law blog. Go to waveform.org for more radio news.
Hello, and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, December 21st. And I'll give you this, if you can hear me, it is probably still autumn. Well, at least until 4:48 this afternoon, it will be. It is dark, though, almost 6 hours less daylight than the summer solstice. And due to quirks in time zoning, the latest sunrise will be on January 4th. The earliest sunset was back on December 7th. It all gets brighter from here on in, folks, so let's get back to the regularly scheduled programming. Local early morning temperatures range from 7 degrees in Claryville to 18 in Skodak, thanks to the New York State Mesonet. Regional average soil temperature is 36 degrees. Closest likely snowfall today is about 90 miles away at the Pennsylvania border. Over here, a frigid morning gives way to a freezing afternoon. That's the human-based conditions. As far as the roads are concerned, it won't be freezing when it hits 35 degrees at 2 p.m. Not long after 4 p.m., we drop below the freezing point again, causing some surface ice to form from the melted snow. Overnight, we see a drop to 22 degrees. Then, tomorrow, elevated areas start out with snow, and everyone else gets rain or possibly a mix, but everyone finishes as rain, with most areas hitting 40 degrees in the afternoon. Overnight, the temperature climb and rain continue, and all the way into Friday, topping out at 52 degrees. Watch out, though, winds kick up, bringing about storm conditions, and, of course, rains trail off as snow overnight, with temperatures hitting the low teens. Saturday, frozen, windy, check back later. Sunset today will be at 4:13 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:16 a.m. Looking way up, we see a chance for minor geomagnetic storms today as the dual plasma stream kisses our little rock. Chances for X-class flares are at 10%. Solar wind speed is currently 339.8 kilometers per second at 7.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair below 30 MHz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 119, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter Meyer of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
Are you looking for a child development program for your preschooler? Columbia Opportunities Head Start offers full-day early childhood development activities and support to eligible 3- and 4-year-olds throughout Columbia County at no cost to families. School readiness, health, nutrition, and parent engagement activities are offered throughout the year. Head Start classrooms are located in Hudson, Philmont, Taconic Hills, Volusia, and Chatham. Give your child a head start. For more information, 518-828-6312 or ColumbiaOpportunities.org.
You're listening to the 3 extra web streams available at wavefarm.org/listen or WGXC.org, any WGXC.org page. Click on the listen button. Here, Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, or the test site of Acoustic Commons. Live weather you can hear on your radio anytime you want at WGXC.org or wavefarm.org/listen. Hear the hydrophones in the Wave Farm pond in Zach Poff's Pond Station, the microphone outside in the woods at Wave Farm in the test site of Acoustic Commons, and hear a live stream of an analog drone synthesizer playing the weather. Changes in precipitation, the changes in sunlight, the changes in wind, and the changes in temperature. At wavefarm.org/listen, you can hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, and the test site of Acoustic Commons. On any WGXC.org page, click on the listen button to tune in your weather.
And you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
are listening. You're listening to 90.7 WGXC Acre,
Catskills.
Today.
East Durham. Catskills.
After a long absence on local stages, Catskills' Brian DeWan is performing back locally again on Thursday, December 22nd. It's his annual holiday program, and this year it is at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, December 22nd. WGXC should have a live webcast of the performance. It may also be on the FM airwaves. So tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Thursday, December 22nd for Catskill's Brian DeWan's return to local stages and his annual holiday show Thursday, December 22nd at the Avalon Lounge.
If we make it through December, everything's gonna be all right, I know. It's the coldest time of winter, and I shiver when I see the falling snow. If we make it through December, got plans to be in a warmer town come summertime. Maybe even California. If we make it through December, we'll be fine. Got laid off down at the factory, and their timing's not the greatest in the world. Heaven knows I've been working hard. Wanted Christmas to be ripe for Daddy's girl. I don't mean to hate December. It's meant to be the happy time of year. And my little girl don't understand why Daddy can't afford no Christmas here. If we make it through December, everything's gonna be all right, I know. It's the coldest time of winter, and I shiver when I see the falling snow. If we make it through December, got plans to be in a warmer town come summertime. Maybe even California. If we make it through December, we'll be fine.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
I will release my tax returns against my lawyer's wishes when she releases her 33,000 emails that have been deleted.
Former President Donald Trump said he was under audit for years, preventing him from releasing his tax returns. Now a House committee has voted to make them public. Democrats said they needed Trump's returns from 2015 to 2020 to assess an IRS audit program. Republicans insist the probe is politically motivated. Lawmakers have unveiled a massive bipartisan budget bill addressing every aspect of federal spending, from military defense to student loans.
For students who are struggling to cover tuition or rent, it means making ends meet just got a little bit easier.
Democratic Senator Patty Murray of Washington noted the bill increases the size of a Pell Grant by $500. Republican Senator Rand Paul says he favors the increase for military spending in the budget bill, but says otherwise it's a blank check for Democrats.
I think the greatest risk to our national security is our debt. The process stinks. It's an abomination. It's a no good, rotten way to run your government.
Meanwhile, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says any bills from GOP senators who vote for the budget measure will be dead on arrival if he is Speaker. The U.S. Supreme Court has temporarily blocked an order lifting Title 42 pandemic-era restrictions on asylum seekers. Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema describes the situation at parts of the southern border.
Let me be clear. This is a humanitarian and security nightmare.
Some 20,000 migrants are reportedly waiting to enter the U.S. near El Paso, Texas. Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts grilled then Wells Fargo CEO Timothy Sloan over the bank's fake account scandal.
At best, you are incompetent. At worst, you were complicit. And either way, you should be fired.
Wells Fargo will now pay nearly $4 billion to settle allegations by the Consumer Federal Protections Bureau, stating it illegally charged surprise overdraft fees and froze consumer accounts. EPA Administrator Michael Regan says new rules regarding emission standards for heavy-duty vehicles will help protect the health of 72 million Americans living near truck freight routes.
Those overburdened communities are directly exposed to pollution that leads to respiratory and cardiovascular problems, among other serious and costly health effects.
It is the EPA's first update to emission standards since 2001. Finally, the January 6th committee will release its full report today, which includes criminal referrals against former President Trump and ethics complaints against several Republican lawmakers. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The January 6th criminal referrals for former President Donald Trump may fuel further investigation of he and his allies, but there is still big lie fallout in states around the country. This includes Arizona, which has its own election deniers in Mark Finchem and Kerry Lake. Finchem lost his bid for Arizona Secretary of State by over 120,000 votes, but filed a suit claiming that then-Secretary of State Katie Hobbs failed to certify Maricopa County's optical ballot readers. He asked that his election be overturned, a statewide recount be held, and that Hobbs be investigated. The Arizona Mirror reports that opposing counsel filed a motion to dismiss, calling the case a, quote, flimsy tantrum of conspiracy theories and outright falsities. The judge agreed, dismissing the case and calling it frivolous. Meanwhile, former television anchor Kerry Lake, who lost to Katie Hobbs by 17,000 votes in the Arizona governor's race, is pushing forward with a suit over her loss. Monday, another Maricopa County judge dismissed 8 of 10 of Lake's claims, saying that Lake must prove at this January 2nd trial that someone interfered with printers, causing her to lose the election. The Huffington Post reports that Lake spoke to a crowd of conservative activists last weekend and, ripping a page from the Trump playbook, told them that the Arizona governorship was stolen from her. Find links to articles on the lawsuits at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Next, here is 10:17 p.m. KHB36 warned and flood stage from Almanac Behind from Daniel Bachman. 2022 Radio Art and New Music.
This is the Hill Weather Radio All-Hazards Station, KHB36, broadcasting from the National Weather Service Office in Sterling, Virginia, and transmitting on a frequency of 162.550 MHz from an antenna located in Manassas, Virginia. The National Weather Service in Sterling, Virginia has issued a flash flood warning for Madison County in northwestern Virginia until 12:15 a.m. At 9:17 p.m., Doppler radar indicated thunderstorms producing heavy rain across the warned area. Between 2 and 4 inches of rain have fallen. Flash flooding is ongoing or expected to begin shortly. Hazard, life-threatening flash flooding. Thunderstorms producing flash flooding. Source, Doppler radar. Impact, life-threatening flash flooding of rings and seams. In areas, highway streets, and underpasses. Some locations experience flash flooding in Madison.
Yesterday in your community, there were all sorts of local events, and WGXC has audio of some of them.
Last night.
Yesterday.
The day before
yesterday.
Last night on the radio, WGXC's Kimberly Irwin's Race Talk show aired, and she spoke with Hudson dance educator and choreographer Anna Mehta. Here is an excerpt of their discussion.
I've created two social action pieces on women and empowerment of women. And as I'm a Baha'i, that's my faith. And as a Baha'i, there's this teaching of the equality between men and women. Men and women are equal in the eyes of the higher power. And so I really, being in the lifestyle that I trying to navigate these waters, it's really important for me to empower myself and all women about the equality. And so I created two pieces on that with like quotes. I love quotes. And this language empowerment kind of was created in that idea of learning about racism in the United States, being a part of the Race Unity Circle, which and then also being a Baha'i and watching the CNN video about, you know, what's going on racially in this country. So I wanted to, but I couldn't, I was like, well, I'm not Black. I'm like this redheaded white girl, like growing up in Chile, bicultural, like there's no, it doesn't have to connect to what connects to me in order to be authentic to the audience, for the audience. And it's very-
I love that.
Yeah, it's very-
I'm sorry to even stop you. I want you to repeat that statement. It doesn't, I don't have to, it's like, you don't have to be about it, be it to be about it.
Right. Right. And it's very important. And see, in my work, especially with my cultural work, to respect. I love this quote. I, you know, in creating my fusion work and my dance work and bringing these cultures together is to showcase the oneness of humanity through bringing the cultures together, but also to the idea of respect. That if you want to learn a dance from another culture or anything, you have to respect it and travel to that country and really understand the culture and understand the history and really envelop it into your being before, you know, it's very important. And that's a real, you have to really show that respect. And like when I went to India, I dressed in the Indian clothes and when I was in Zimbabwe, I tried to learn their language, which is really hard.
Do you know any kind? I usually try to learn hi by some numbers and like my name is, those are like the basic things I try to learn in every language that I come across. So can you share anything you might have learned?
I'm putting you on the spot. When I travel again, I will definitely remember that. I did try to learn Shona when I was in Zimbabwe for 6 months. Because I love African dance is really a part of me. I just finished with Kwanzaa here in Hudson and I love dancing African, but I really tried to understand it and understand the history and culture and background to respect the culture. And yeah, I don't remember much of it. There was this one song or this one, I know how to say I love you in Shona, but now I can't remember.
Well, that's okay. But you even said the language Shona, right? So that's even something.
That again, was 15 years ago. That was like, oh.
Yeah, it's hard.
2003 that I went to Zimbabwe.
I lived in Germany for 2 years, and I am about 10 years removed now, and it's so hard. And I mean, I used to have like dreams in German. I remember being so like, oh, I'm not gonna learn German. And I had a person who mentioned to me, no, eventually you'll start even dreaming in German. And that happened. And then I came back to the States and I was like, English, German, and then just English. And do I even know any German anymore? It's almost so hard.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm half Jewish. So the Yiddish is very Germanic.
Oh yeah.
The German name. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know you were Jewish. Okay, so we're gonna have a real conversation here because I have some questions. Half Jewish?
Half Jewish.
Well, still, that's a thought. What does it mean to be half? Okay, so I'm just gonna hold off on that because you did a great segue in what you talked about to our top term, appropriation.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC renewable weather forecast for Wednesday, December 21st. And we start off each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Cumberland Farms in Hunter has gas for just $3.47 a gallon. That's the lowest price in Greene County, according to the Gas Buddy website. Another thing that is low on Tuesday is the air quality forecast. It's down to just a 9, which is much lower than usual. The UV index is also low. It's just a 1 on Tuesday. And the water temperature in the Hudson River in Albany is falling, but it's still almost 2 degrees warmer than the average for the past 10 years. Currently, it's 46.64 degrees Fahrenheit or 8.14 degrees Celsius. The National Weather Service in Albany says it should be sunny on Wednesday, good for local solar panels, with a high of 33 and a low around 18. Then on Thursday, there's a chance of rain or snow after 1 p.m. with cloudy skies and a high of just 35 degrees and a southeast wind 3 to 8 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Thursday night, there's a 100% chance of rain or snow, depending on how cold it is, becoming all rain after 10 p.m. And the rain could be heavy at times with a low around just 33 and a southeast wind 8 to 17 miles per hour with gusts as high as 33 miles per hour. Friday, the rain continues and could be snow showers at some points, but there'll be a high of 52, so it'll be mostly rain. Low is forecast to be around 10 on Friday night, so if there's any precipitation left, it will be snow at that point. And you're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. Wednesday, December 21st, tune in to all sorts of live, local, creative community radio at WGXC 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m., Matthew O'Neill is live from the WGXC Acre Studio at the Wave Farm with the Panther Mountain Sound, music of indigenous folks, and more. Then Mirage Station is live from Wave Farm at 11 a.m. with Mayuka Fujino playing all sorts of sounds. And then we go live to Catskill at noon after the local news with Spike Priggin, 2 hours of the Bedazzled Radio Hour with rock and roll and more. And at 4 p.m., tune in the WGXC Congressional Report on the WGXC Afternoon Show live from Acre. 7 p.m., the Off the Hook Show, simulcast from WBAI in Brooklyn live. There you can call in with your tech questions to the Off the Hook 2600 computer hacking crew. At 8 p.m., we're live from Hudson with Peter McPartland and Annie Kanovskaya with Rock and Roll High School. And at 10 p.m., we're live from Ulster County with Jeff Economy and the Snack Point Charlie Show. And at midnight, we're live from Ulster County again with a simulcast from Radio Kingston of Peter Aaron's Go Go Kitty Show until 2 a.m. on 90.7 FM WGXC. Thank you.
heathen from the city that dreams. Ring them bells from the sanctuaries, cross the valleys and streams, for they're deep and they're wide, and the world's on its side, and time is running backwards, and so is the bride. Ring them bells, St. Peter, where the four winds blow. Ring them bells with an iron hand so the people will know. Oh, it's rush hour now on the wheel and the plow, and the sun is a-going down upon the sacred